Friday, to remind that Zad Zayin Adar Tovshin Pei Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. A lot to talk about. Got the Pasha, Pasha Zocho, poem. I said it's Zayin Adar, the Yod Zayt Moshe Rabbeinu. Special zchus. It's a very interesting idea. I just say very bekitzo that I heard the man Shoshiva Zech Tzadev Kosh Levocho used to every day learn Mishnayos, Lili Nishmas of Binu Yoyna of the Shai Tshuva, one Mishnah for the Chofetz Chaim, just been learning the Chofetz Chaim, and one Mishnah for the Yisod V'Shoah Shoavoyta. And what happened was, his grandson once said to him that, can you imagine the Binu Yoyna in Shemayim? He's got so many chusim, the whole world learns this for him. Does he need your Mishnah? And he showed him an Al-Shich HaKotzam in Gilas Esther, the most amazing Al-Shich. But the Al-Shich says, that why is it that we give Matonis to Avyonim on Purim? Why do you have to give Matonis to Avyonim? What's the connection Matonis to Avyonim to Purim? So the Al-Shich says, because Moshe Rabbeinu Amod Chatzadik worked very hard for the Nes. If you look in the Midrashim, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amod Chatzadik was one of our Kali, so one worked above, one worked below. So as our cause hatov to them, we give matonos le'avyonim le'ilui nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, we give matonos le'avyonim le'ilui nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu. And the idea is that however great Moshe Rabbeinu was, and we have absolutely no idea of his greatness, a mitzvah that we do in this world has a koyach which Moshe Rabbeinu himself cannot do. So when we do something, so now Moshe Rabbeinu is the outside, we're doing this le'ilui nishmas as a schus for Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one nekuda, this parasha got a lot of inyanim, but one nekuda I'd like to speak about, one main point. And this is the concept of Yidvenu Liboy. The pasuk says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yichu li truma me'ez kolish, asher Yidvenu Liboy tikchu es trumasi. Asher Yidvenu Liboy means that which his heart desires to give. And it is a very interesting mitzvah. All mitzvahs, the Torah defines for us what we're supposed to do. The Torah doesn't say, take as many esrogim as you want to shake. The Torah says, take one esrog, three hadasim, two avos, one lulav. It doesn't tell us how many as you wish. The Torah tells us, alachas maisa is 10%. Shabbos, it's not up to us to decide what is Shabbos. When it comes to the nadova of the Mishkan, the Torah said, give as much as you want. The mitzvah was that every person should search his heart, decide how much he wanted to give, and that's how much he should give. The idea is, the Al-Shechadi says this, that the Mishkan was a mokum of Ashwa'as HaShchina. A mokum of Ashwa'as HaShchina is a place which is more Kaddish than anywhere that it is. And therefore, because of that, it required a higher level of a mitzvah. What's higher than a mitzvah is, so to speak, something which a person has come to from his own desire to want to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With this one idea, we can explain many things. The Rachaim HaKadosh says that the Torah begins a list and it goes from the more expensive to the less expensive. Like the Torah says, Zav, gold, vorches of silver, and nechoshes copper, gold, silver, copper. And then it goes to wool, and then it goes to wood. Each thing, it goes lower and lower and lower. And then finally, the last on the list is Avnei Shem, Avnei Miluim. The diamonds that were on the Choshen, which the Gemara tells us, costed millions. They were the most expensive thing in the world. The tiny diamonds, something I showed you recently. Tiny diamonds, smaller than a stamp. How much do you think it was worth? Over 50,000 pounds. These were big diamonds. So why was it last on the list? Says Chaim HaKadosh, because they were given by the Nesim, and there was a lack of desire to do what HaKadosh wanted. Either because they gave them the last, that means they waited and they didn't give it straight away. There was no enthusiasm. Alternatively, the Racham Kodesh also says they were bought by the Ananei HaKovet. Since they were given by the Ananei HaKovet, it wasn't given from a desire of the heart. And furthermore, we have this similar idea. Is the Chazal say by the Kroshim, for Sisa is HaKroshim, the Kroshim, what's the Kroshim? Says Rashi that these Kroshim were bought by Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. The Yaakov Avinu told them, go and bring it down to Mitzrayim. And when they brought it down to Mitzrayim, they took it out with them. And the Medrash says, Ha Kroshim, Kroshim, Umdim, La'ad, Elohim, Elohim, that the Kroshim never decayed, and they never became weaker. It's the same Kroshim we've always had. Why were the Kroshim so special? What was so unique about them? The answer is that Yaakov Avinu, long before Hashem mentioned anything about a Mishkan, he wanted his children to have the ability to build a Mishkan. And because of that, he arranged it in advance. It showed a desire to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because he was commanded. And that's what was so special, the HaKroshim, the Kroshim. And we have this again and again, the Ramban tells us, in a number of places in these parashas, that who built the Mishkan? Klal Yisro. He said they were all slaves, been working in schlepping stones. And how did they have the skill to work in fine craftsmanship? Says the Ramban, the Pasuk says that Kol Ashiyitvenu Liboy, that there were those who came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to be able to help build the Mishkan. And the Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately arranged that what? That they should have within them the skills and the wisdom to be able to build. So what happened was, it wasn't that they had the skill and then they came. Because they desired to help, that is why they were able to give, that's why they were able to do it. And so this idea, I mean, I saw with the Derech Busa, Moshe Rabbeinu threw a block of gold into a fire, what came out? A menorah. Rashi tells us, a beautiful menorah. The Eruvav threw a block of gold into the fire, what came out? An eagle. What's the difference? They both threw a block of gold into the fire. The answer is, what was the feeling behind it? Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, how can I serve Hashem better? And the Eruvav were not. That means, when the person wants, the ikkah is the leiv, the ikkah is the desire to serve Hashem. It was the rotzen of the Eruvav. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. They threw in the Alei Shor, you're right. But Aaron was the one who threw it in. Very good. I just wanted to point out the Sfas Emes, right? Unbelievable thing. The Sfas Emes says that now that we have no Beis HaMikdosh, so we can't give Machtes HaShekel, our desire to give it, he says, is worth more than all the Kavanos put together. He says as Alosh in Sfas Emes. Because the Rotzim, when a person has a Rotzim to bring a Korban, is stronger than any carbon that a person can give. That's what the Sfas Emes says. And therefore, we have to think, I think, for stuff like this, what is your poem? Might not be able to give as many Mishloach Manos, shouldn't perhaps give as many Mishloach Manos, have to be very careful, don't want to create hatred, Chas V'Shalom. The Goyim have given up so much, if we behave differently, or cause a tremendous upsetment and anger, we have to be careful not to create sinner. But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ikkah is the desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, perhaps this year we've got it better than other years. Because in this year we'll be thinking to ourselves, how can I celebrate Purim? How can I do it right within the limitations? And this is a very beautiful Sfas Emes in the Parsha Shkolim. That the desire that we should want to do the right, the want to bring the Shkolim, is worth more than all the Karbonos put together. So this is the idea of the Rechaim HaKadosh, the Ramban, that's all the Yidvenu Liboy, and that causes the Chochma, the Ava in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This week we're going to be reading in Mitzvah Hashem the Haftarah of Parsha Zochar. It's one of the most unbelievable Haftarahs that there are. The most dramatic story. I just have Derech Remez. K'mochoy Emcha, we're going to read Parsha Zochar. K'mochoy Emcha, a wipe out. So the Chidor writes, Emcha, Aleph Memches. Let's leave the hay for a moment. Aleph Memches is Aaron Moishachu, when it came to the first battle of Amalek. The second battle was in times of Esther. Esther Mordechai Chavoyno, Aleph Memches. When Mashiach comes, it's Eliyahu Mashiach. Chesed says, the Pasuk Yecheskel says, there'll be eight Nesichim. When Mashiach comes, there'll be eight princes that will help us. Noach is one of the eight. Avram, Sheis. There'll be eight princes that will save Klal Yisrael. What's the hay, says the Chidor? Because you always need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you in your battle. So it's Avraham Moshechu, Hashem. Esther Mordechai Chavoyno, Hashem. Eliyahu Mashiach, the eight Nesichim, but you need Hashem. That's the Emcha. And the Shem Mishmur writes that had Shaul HaMelech destroyed Amalek then, he would have been Mashiach ben Yosef. Unbelievable, the story of Parshat Zochar, the Haftarah, so much to learn. What happens when Shaul got it wrong? He made a mistake. There's a word that I once heard, B'Shem of Shach, Zichat Tzadik Kodesh Baruch, but I never saw it inside. And this week I was Zichat Tzadik inside the Sefer Mishpatei Zov, and therefore I would say it's a very delicate word. If a person chaps it, it's Kedai. The Gemara tells us that Shaul did a terrible avir. Vayorev Banochal. The pasuk starts off. He went Vayorev Banochal. He fought in the river. The Nachal is a valley. So Gemara Megillah says that what happened was that Shaul HaMelech made a kavachim. A Nachal refers to the Nachal of the Egla Rufo. An Egla Rufo, we kill the Egla Rufo. We find a dead body, and we don't know who killed him. We killed the Egla Rufo in the Nachal. So Shaul HaMelech said to Klal Yisrael, I don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for one dead body we don't know who killed, we go through the entire effort of measuring and getting the Sanhedrin and everything with it for one person. And here I'm going to kill a whole nation. Im gedolim chotu k'tanim ma'osu. That's what he said. And then he said furthermore, he said, what about the animals? And the Baskol came out and said, Artie tzaddik, how about you being too much of a tzaddik? And when Noivei HaKohanim was being destroyed, he killed out Me'ish at Ishom Me'olil Va'adyunik. He killed an entire city of Koyanim. He killed men, women, animals, and children, and he killed everybody. And that Bastol came out and said, Tilsha Harbe, don't be too much of a Rosha. And Stamaz Ebdech Agav, it's very important, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing him that you think that you're doing the right thing, but Mineu Bei, from you yourself, I'll prove your bad behavior. This is a word. The Biskarov says this in Parshas Vayeshev. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this very often in life. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the person says, I've got no time to learn. But then he has loads of time to hear the news. The person says, I've got no money to give to Stockholm. He's got loads of money to give to other things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proves a person from himself. So you sure get such rachmanas. But when it comes to Noivei HaKohanim, suddenly you don't have that. But the question is, and this is the Takanah Mishnah itself, says Moshe Moshach, what was going on over here? And he says that the problem with Shaul HaMelech was simply a question of time. A very delicate point, but it's kedai to him. Shaul HaMelech was correct in his arguments, meaning that he needed to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. And he had a reason to declare and to think about it and to discuss it. The problem is that he chose the wrong moment to have that discussion. The right moment was not then. The right moment was another time. You go to Beis Medrash to discuss it. This time HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to destroy Amalek, you shouldn't be declaring otherwise. And Rosh Chach used this to explain. Many times you hear a statement, I couldn't find a good practical example, but if you think about yourself, you find it. Sometimes you hear a statement, let's say from a previous chief rabbi, which is a slightly derogatory of Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And what happens is, you say to yourself, but the argument is correct. Sometimes the argument is correct. But the question is, was it being said at the correct time and place that it will have a positive effect or negative effect? That means a person has to choose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do things. And sometimes a person needs to work out what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. But sometimes an argument is made, and the argument is made in the wrong atmosphere, where there's nothing wrong with the argument. Other than that, the timing and the placing that the argument was made proves that there's a hidden agenda. And that's why it's no good. And it's a very important message that person would. You hear somebody speaking about chesed, somebody who's been, I mentioned before, that on Purim we have to be extra careful. But the point is, sometimes the same argument can be made by another person another time, and his agenda is just to bash. And sometimes it's the correct. Ms. Shaul HaMelech's entire mistake was that the wrong, if the same argument could have been made elsewhere, because the Gemara makes the arguments in other places, but not at that time, not in that place. And the person has to be very careful that sometimes even a correct idea, correct Dvar Torah, correct Musa de Kavod, if it's said in the wrong place and the wrong time, it can come from a hidden agenda, which in itself can destroy. And that's how Shaul came to such a lowly, in such a terrible end. Just one more point on that, a beautiful point from the Chochma Musa, Simcha Zisul of Kelm. Beautiful idea. The Gemara tells us that Shaul HaMelech only did one aveir, this aveir of his lifetime, and that was the end of Shaul HaMelech. That was the end. And David HaMelech, the Gemara says, did more aveirs. He did more. And the fact is, Hashem forgave him. The Gemara says, Marshal, but he asks the question, what's going on? Well, it's favoritism, says the Marshal. Now, if you look, Shaul HaMelech takes him a very long time to say, I'm sorry. The whole time, in fact, he argues back and forth with Shmuel. No, Kemoses Tva Hashem, I kept the word of Hashem. By the way, the Vishnah Rebbe said a beautiful word, Kemoses Tva Hashem. How can you say Kemoses Tva Hashem? You kept the word of Hashem, you didn't. The Rishon Rebbe says that if not for keeping Agog alive, Haman wouldn't have come to praise. If it wouldn't have been Haman, we wouldn't have had the whole Yeshua of the Mordechai and the whole Gezerah and everything that came with it. So when he said that came Moses to Hashem, indeed the word of Hashem was fulfilled. Only it wasn't what he was thinking. But the Maisa Shmuel and Shmuel have a whole argument back and forth a few times until eventually Shmuel relents and says, yes, indeed, I made a mistake. David HaMelech, when he did the Avir, Basheva, another Avir, immediately before the Navi is even able to finish the sentence, he says, Chotosi, I did an Avir. That is why Shaul HaMelech was not forgiven. That's what Mashal says. Mashenke David HaMelech was. Asks the Chochmah Musa. He asks the question, we say sorry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu quite quickly. We say Slach Lanu. We don't fight, we don't find this inner struggle and turmoil before we say Slach Lanu. Why is it? I said, the reason is not because we're greater than Shaul. It is because much worse than Shaul. By us doing an Aveira is not such a tremendous upsetment for us. And because of that, so say, oh, I made an Aveira. So he says, sorry, Shaul, I made an Aveira. By Shaul HaMelech, the thought, he had never done an Aveira. Because the Pasuk says, Ben Shon Olamolcha, he was like 1 year old, that he had never done an Aveira. The thought that perhaps he had done an Aveira, he couldn't cope with the idea, he was so upset. So he tried everything to explain why it wasn't an Aveir until eventually he was forced to acquiesce that it was an Aveir. I saw a beautiful idea. And again, Mishpat is a nice idea on that line, similar lines. He says, this is a Shon Bayis idea, but it's Kedai, because he says like this. Many times a couple have an argument, husband and wife. And the husband will say to his wife, you know, when I do something wrong, I say sorry. You, if you do something wrong, you argue and argue and argue why it wasn't a mistake, it was the right thing. Women are more reluctant to admit that they've done something wrong. You hear this in Shalom Bayis quite a bit. Women will not say, I'm sorry, so quickly. They'll try and defend themselves and explain that it was really there. The husband's fault, it wasn't a mistake, it was really planned, it was all. So what's the difference? It's not because men are better. It's because they don't see it such a terrible thing that they've done if there was something wrong to the wives. They don't, Akshwar created that the chain of a woman is, that joy and happiness is when she feels that she's pleasing her husband. So when she feels that she might have done something wrong, she falls and she everything she can just to explain, no, she never did anything wrong. Now she can her husband, so, okay, I did something wrong. No, it doesn't disturb him so much. And it's a very important idea to be aware of because it solves a lot of arguments. We've seen in the Swan brought down that a person is doing himself a disfavor by trying to prove to his wife that, yes, she did something wrong. A person should just let it go because, indeed, for her, it's very upsetting. But it's a very nice idea as to why Shaul HaMelech struggled so much with this ability just to acquiesce to Zach Shuruch, yes, I did something wrong. We spoke a bit about the Pasha, we spoke about the Zohar. I just mentioned an idea about Purim. We all know Megillah was a behest upon him, that Shvuch made the miracles, but Derech Hashkocha Pratis. And Be'emes, the Megillah is teaching us the concept of Animami B'mun HaShlimo, Sha'aboy Yisborach Shmoy Boyve, U'manig L'chol Aboyim, V'lvadei Oso V'yisu Yasech L'amase. That means that there were many small events that each one and all together culminated into a tremendous miracle for Klal Yisrael. And Shlomo Revda points out a very important insight, is that what we're supposed to be doing with the Megillah is that we're supposed to be training ourselves to a new skill. That means that when we talk about Hashkocha Pratis, I've seen this a few times already, that we often think about the person that misses his plane crashes. That's very dramatic, very easy. The reality is that almost never happens. It's very rare. The Hashkocha Pratis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaNisecho Shebecholim Imanu, everyday miracles, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly creating small events. A person loses his keys, he spends another 2 minutes, he thinks to himself, that's so frustrating. But he has to know, it's all about Cheshbon Shemayim. And there's hundreds of acts every day. And this is Bem's Posh Pshat in Shmoneh Esrei. We say, HaNisecho Shebecholim, your goodness is every moment. That's the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver. Everything's working. Cholis. It's literally every second. Nisim is every day. So nisim can't be that the body is working, because that's tivisecho shebecholis. So what's the nisim? Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating nisim. Where's the nisim every day? The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly not as dramatic as these big things, but as constantly small events where Shvuch is directing a person in the way that he's supposed to be. He gets 5 minutes earlier to there, 5 minutes later to there. Person meets that person. Every person that you met today was ba'ashkocha pfotis, that you met them. And every conversation you've had is ba'ashkocha. Everything that you see, so the Shem Tov used to see an aveira, he would be misspoken as to why Ashkocha arranged that he should see that aveira. It must mean something wrong with him. Everything, this is all ba'ashkocha. Now, how do we develop the skill to notice it in our life? Is by being misspoken in the Megillah. Because the Megillah is a place where it's very dramatically put out. And them as a person can have a lot of fun, a lot of pleasure working it through. There are many, many places. You think about it, bad timing. Think about it, Mordechai Tzadik saved Achashverosh's life. Years later, Haman Rasha comes to Achashverosh to ask him to hang Mordechai Tzadik. Had Haman come a few minutes before Achashverosh asked, what should we do? It wouldn't have happened. Had he come a few minutes later after Achashverosh had got to die, it wouldn't have happened. That means he came, how long does it take from when you ask a question to get an answer? A few seconds. And Haman, those few seconds, years ago, Mordechai Tzadik saved Achashverosh's life, and a few years later, Achashverosh finally wakes up to ask the question what to do, and in between the question and the answer, Haman walks in. The bad timing, many times you have bad timing, you try to get somewhere, you get bad timing. I mean, this is something that we can spend, but Emma's, this is the whole avodah of Purim. And unfortunately, I get disturbed, and sometimes you meet somebody of Purim and he'll tell you a nice gematria and a nice thing, and it's very nice. But the difference between somebody who strikes on Purim or not, it's not how many new gematrias a person knows. It's the amount of time that a person spends thinking about an imamin, b'emun ha'shlimo, sh'abo yisporach, sh'mo yibo yoman yichol abumim. The amount of time you spend, the person can spend a minute thinking about it, and the rest of the time, 99% of the time, thinking about which Mishloach Monos he has to give. A person can spend an hour. I remember that I was told by Moshe Schwab, he used to spend poems singing Adon Olam for between an hour or two. Between an hour or two, he used to spend his time singing Adon Olam. Some years would sing Shoshana Siyakiv. Lo yidiash kol kri vecho, lo yevo yishu likomu. This is the Avodah. And Bemis, the question is how much time we have. There's a very beautiful Malbim, which is not so well known, is that Chavoyno said to Achashverosh, Gam in Eoetz, right, Asha Haman, he made it for Mordechai, Asha Dibetoy Valamelech. So he said that Haman made a tree to hang Mordechai, who spoke good of the king. Says the Malbim that Achashverosh misunderstood Chavoyno. Chavoyno meant to say that Haman said that this tree is good for Mordechai, who spoke good, that Mordechai spoke good about the king. And what did Achashverosh hear? If you think about the pause, you can understand. Asher Dibe, which Haman spoke, Doival HaMelech, that this gallows would also be good if the king would get hanged on it. So what happens is, Achashverosh heard the words Asher Dibe, Doival HaMelech, as if that gallows were meant for him. And that made him even more angry. This is a complete misunderstanding. The amount of times that people have misunderstanding, somebody says A, another person understands B, you have it a lot. Even that, that's also Bashkocha Pratis. Every tiny thing is all Bashkocha. And this is something that we have again and again and again throughout our lives. And the person who learns this skill, Achashverosh, who accused Haman of trying to plot to kill him, he couldn't sleep that night. He was 100% wrong. The reason Esther invited Haman, the two were plotting, the two of them hated each other. But the fact is, it was a misunderstanding, it was B'chosh B'kshem. Sometimes a person sees somebody doing something, and he comes up to a conclusion which is completely wrong. This is all part, even the thoughts that a person has are all b'cheshbon shomayim. Just want to say, I've got times like this. Haman comes out of the su'uda and he tells his family that he tells his family that I was the only one invited to Esther and Malcolm. So this safe in Oy Oylam. So it's a very, very nice thing. Now, Haman was invited to a beautiful party. You can imagine the party had meat and wines, the best wines, the best meats. The only thing that gave him pleasure was what? That nobody else was invited. That was the essence of Haman. And therefore, we, on our avodah of Purim, what do? We share our joy with other people. And that is why the whole Purim is based to mishter to other people. Haman's only pleasure he could get was that nobody else was invited. He couldn't think about how tasty the meat was, how nice it was, nothing. The fact that nobody else got it, that was giving pleasure. We show with the opposite of Haman, the Faket, we share the food that we have, we share the pleasure, we share the joy that we have. There's a word which Rabbi Rabinowitz, he should be well, he's not feeling so well, he told me, Shin Derech Hashem, a very, very beautiful point. that the change in the story of the Megillah is when Haman says, who would the king do want to do covet more than me? Haman is who? The symbol of Ra, the symbol of the Yetzer Hara. Melech without the word Achashverosh is who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yitzhara says in his heart, who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to give covet? Yosemi many more than me. Why would such a thing be? It says the Derech Hashem like this, that when Mashiach, just before Mashiach will come, what will happen is, there will be such a strength to Ra, that people will see Ra as if that is the ultimate good, and even HaKadosh Baruch Hu approves of Ra. And when that happens, it's a deeper point. When that happens, then what will happen is that's when the Yeshua, those who still remain, Dovuk Takadosh Baruch Hu, even when they see that Haman is saying, even then, and a person who still remains by Muna Shleima, he will see the Yeshua. That's the verse that Yehuda believed that the Yekreach Hara thinks in his heart, Takadosh Baruch Hu himself can think. Many times we see that it looks like, you know, that B'nai Torah today, performers are considered lowly. And everybody else who's doing it all wrong seems to be high. When a person still remains b'yashus and in koyach, that is when everything will change and the gula sidur will come. We should all be zeichet to be misbunin this poem again and again and again, not once, not twice, but hundreds of times. That ani mami b'mun shleimo, sh'aboy v'esvach sh'moy boyo, mani l'chol aboyim, bo levadoi osov, v'yisa v'yasa, l'chol amasim. Have a good Shabbos.